Today we're going to talk about what is sexual harassment. Now, the reason this is important is because as Christians, we want a clear understanding of what sexual harassment is. So when we're at a workplace, or we're in a family setting, or we're in a ministry setting, any setting, we clearly understand what sexual harassment is, and we do not journey in that direction. Now, in many ways, talking about this is biblically a common sense discussion. If you are a practicing Christian, you probably have not done any of these. And if there were some that you ventured into, you did so unknowing sort of the common understanding in the general public of what sexual harassment is. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about what sexual harassment is and be very clear about it. So, first of all, to stay away from it is to remember to love. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men." In other words, this is an area that there is some debate about, oh, that's not sexual harassment, is it? Well, we're going to have to take some pains here to do what is right, so men and women do not participate in sexual harassment. And it's important to us as believers because we want to take pains to do what is right. So let's go over the list of what sexual harassment is. Well, uninviting touching. A general rule of thumb in a work-related or even a church setting is to avoid touching each other, uninviting kisses or embraces. Now, again, we define for Christians, human sexuality is done in a marriage-only relationship, but I'm just going to go and be very clear about what the general understanding of this is, and in many ways it's obvious, and from a Christian perspective, we would know this. Unwelcome physical touch. Unwelcome physical contact, such as massaging a person without invitation, deliberately brushing up against them. Now, here's one that a Christian could fall into because you may have had a more touchy-feely childhood where if someone was hurting in your family, you know, someone would go up to someone else and give them a little massage without invitation. By today's definition, that would be considered a individual instance of sexual harassment. Touching or fiddling with a person's clothing, including lifting up skirts or shirts, flicking bra straps, or putting hands in a person's pocket. Again, just be very clear that these are all violations and could be understood as sexual harassment. Smutty jokes or comments. Ephesians 5, verse 4, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Humor that is sexual in nature, insults, taunts, teasing, name callings of a sexual nature are all considered a form of sexual harassment. I would say that these, many people, Christians too, will joke. They'll joke and tell jokes. If this, like, all men around, here comes a sexual joke. I think more and more. All of that is truly, goes under the guise of Ephesians 5 verse 4, coarse joking, foolish talk. I believe a practicing Christian, has to look at their life, and we don't want to have this sterile thing where there's no more joy in the humanity of life anymore. But on the other hand, more and more and more, I think to love our neighbors, we're going to be more sensitive to any of these types of things. Here's another form, making promises or threats in return for sexual favors. Now, this one, again, obviously, a Christian will not do this. Machinations and manipulation. We read in 2 Timothy 3:6, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Now, this is not a statement against women in general. This is a statement about manipulation, machinations. These are people. They are the kind. These are people who have rejected the faith in the last days, if you look up 2 Timothy 3 there. This also includes repeated invitations to go out after prior refusal. You know, if you're a man or a woman, but you know, this often sexual harassment is generated by men in our society. Again, there's this spammy type of atmosphere, you know, repeated invitations to go out after refusal. Generally, sexually explicit interactions, display of sexually graphic material, including posters, pinups, cartoons, graffiti, messages left on notice boards, desks, or common areas, exposing genitals or sexual gestures on social media, chatting, texting, or emails, sexually explicit conversations in casual conversations. We have a lot of this sexting going on. People in chat rooms or hangouts or texting, exposing each other just for fun, or the thought it would be just for fun. But that is a form of sexual misconduct. In many companies, if they see that you have done any of this on a company website, those are grounds for being let go and fired. Undisciplined eyes, staring or leering at a person or at parts of their body. And again, these are clear. You know, on one level, you could say, well, the body is beautiful, and to look at a woman's body is beautiful and doesn't have to be looked at in lust. I mean, I've seen Christians make cases out of that. And to some extent, I can see how they would make that case. On the other hand, in today's society, the fallen nature of everything, I think that men, again, who are more visual, you know, here's an example where to discipline the eyes, to, you know, it is clear that a woman's body has been made by God to be beautiful. And a man's body is made beautiful. We're image bearers of God. So this leering, this, you know, staring, all of those things, instead let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And in this case, when I'm just talking like a devotional thing, it's a worldview as well. Let us fix our eyes on how he created, the author, the perfecter of our faith. The point that he's trying to say here in Hebrews is that it's our faith that guides us. So we are going to have disciplined eyes, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, these are all very important things. And, you know, as Christians, we are of those who set a different standard because we want to set a different standard. Here's some more to think about. Aggressive sexual requests. Again, it's hard for me to believe that a Christian would do this, but this is a sociology class, and this is a topic of human sexuality. Requests for sex, joking requests, offensive calls or letters or stalking, all of these things are things that, you know, Christians, we're just not going to participate in because we see them as a violation of our practiced faith. Here's one, power sexual connections. Now, this one, in working with people, their supervisors and subordinates. And many people talk about those types of relationships in a sexual misconduct way. Ministers counseling boundaries, in some ways, a minister has many counseling opportunities. So if you're a man and a woman comes in counseling into your office, and you're asked to give advice and all of those things, you know, understand that the tempter can be to break down the appropriate boundary. One thing that over the years I have practiced is to, if there is a woman I'm going to meet with and my wife is there as well, or have conversations on the phone, best is to train up leaders in the early church. The whole office of the deacon was developed partially for honoring healthy sexuality boundaries. So a deacon minister female would be ministering to other females so that much pain and hurt could be avoided because of the sinfulness of humanity in general. You know, again, that sounds so old-fashioned and so forth. But on the other hand, let's be those who go above board and seek to glorify God. From a workplace environment, if you're a supervisor and you have an affair with, let's say you're 40 and you have a sort of like sexual liaisons with a young woman in her 20s, that is grounds for firing because you are a supervisor. And you may say, well, we're in love. This is consensual, you know. Yeah, maybe it could be consensual. But again, first, you're a Christian, so you're not going to want to do this. But secondly, you are in a position of power. And that 20-some-year-old, maybe that marriage, a new marriage is hurting or maybe something's happening. But if you proceed forward on that, that is an example of sexual misconduct, sexual harassment. So again, these are all, you know, critical things to talk about. And as Christians, we don't know what sexual harassment is. And this is only, there's even more technical examples of it. I wanted to give you basically the basic ones. So from a sociology perspective, you understand how in the U.S. culture, sexual misconduct or sexual harassment is understood. So you can do better and do well. So anyway, now you see it. You kind of understand it more, I would say, to research it. You know, in the end of the day, I think it is true that we as Christians do take pains to do what is right, to bless our neighbor, to not, you know, put aside the grace of God, both in understanding how to grow with ourselves and also how to be gracious to those in our community. Because the last thing we want is to, you know, drag the name of Christ through the mud because we don't understand clearly what sexual harassment is, what sexual misconduct is. But again, the worldview of marriage sexuality and committed sexuality in marriage is critically important. Now, if you're single and, you know, that marriage sexuality is not locked into your life, some of these things apply more. But even there, if you're a single person, to glorify God with your sexuality and to treat your neighbor in great respect and love.